side, 0-1. So no balls, a strike. Benetti releases it off the hand at 90. Toe down. Anthony Benetti, 5 strikeouts. Hoping to get it 6. The 0-1 release out and away. 1-1. So 1 ball, 1 strike. 2 down. Raptors have been on a hit 6-4. The Dockspiners knocking on the door once again here, top of the 8th. The 1-1 to West. And that's a curve that finds the inside strike zone. 1-2. So Benetti, the Barry University pitcher, has a chance to record 6 strikeouts. Has gone 3 2/3. On the first base side of the mound, the 1-2 and a swing and a miss low for strike 3. So gives up a hit, but it doesn't matter. Records another strikeout. He's up to 6 today. Benetti is feeling himself. We head to the bottom of the 8th. Raptors down 2-1. We'll step away on WFHR.
Let's face it, mornings are tough. We could all use a little pick-me-up. The answer? El Cafe in Port Edwards. Not only will the atmosphere and friendly staff at El Cafe give you a boost, but their breakfast will knock your socks off. Enjoy one of their great daily breakfast specials, sure to satisfy, or really kick it up with their fish tacos and spicy salsa. Life's too short to have another boring breakfast. Get up, get going, and get to El Cafe in beautiful Port Edwards right next to the police station. Start your day with a kick at El Cafe.
Better begins with the way we treat each other, the way we listen to one another, and the way we serve and support each other. At Aspirus Health, better begins with a commitment to help build healthy families, healthy relationships, and healthy communities throughout a lifetime, from generation to generation. For whatever needs to be better in your life, better begins at Aspirus Health. Passion for excellence, compassion for people.
Raptors Baseball is brought to you by Sharon Zeman, Sky Manning, Clay Kanoki, and Joe Arnold, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisors. Learn how they can help you reach your financial goals. Visit edwardjones.com. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Let's get back to the Raptors here on WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
Bottom of the 8th, and a new pitcher in storm for the first time today. The Dockspiners have gone to their bullpen. Cade Walker, who's appeared in 15 games for them, the Cuesta College pitcher and the rising junior from Chicago, Illinois. He's had an 0-1 record with a save. He's had 21 innings of work, 19 hits, 14 runs allowed, but he's had 26 strikeouts. So the left-hander has appeared against the Raptors 3 different times. Back on June the 3rd with his first time, he went 2 strikeouts. Take it to June the 23rd, 4 strikeouts in 2 innings. And then again on July 2nd, he had 2 more strikeouts. So that's what Doug Coe is doing. Knows that Walker has a swing and a ground ball from Haligzo over to third at West. And the throw across the diamond is on time for 1 down. But Cade Walker is a guy that can get it done. And so you have to look at him. And Doug Coe did the right thing of bringing him along here to close out this game, because you look at it, the Dockspiders, they just have to continue to play well on the defensive side of the ball. The Raptors, they're the ones that have to come from behind. Haligzo grounds out to third, and this takes us to the top of the order. Nolan Sailors grounded out to second, struck out looking and struck out swinging. He's 0-3. Walker serves in. He throws a lot of curveballs and goes to his sliders at times, but he throws up and in, a 1-0 count. So the left-hander from Chicago throws the 1-0. It's a fastball this time. Pushes inside, 2-0. So a run for the Raptors in the bottom of the 5th as Jorge Degatti was able to get home. As Sailors backs away and pops it left side, 2-1. But 2 runs in the top of the 6th for the Dockspiners. They had a great response. So the Raptors are going to have to find a way to do so here. The 2-1 drifted outside on a high ball, but it comes foul play, 2-2. So 2 balls, 2 strikes, and 1 down. Cade Walker stands in. He'll fire as Sailors flies his out left side. And staying alive in this count is the Creighton products from Omaha, Nebraska, 0 for 3. And he's leading off in the order once again, has done so in the past couple games. He's really gone to Sailors, Gallison, and Johnson. He likes those first three. A 2-2 and a swing and a miss this time for Sailors. He goes down. Cade Walker records his first strikeout of the evening. And one away here, bottom of the eighth. That's a second time in a row. Sailors has struck out swinging. Anthony Gallison, who's 0 for 3, flew out to right, grounded out to third, and popped out to second. So a little bit of everything in terms of getting out for him. But the only thing he would like is to get on base. And Walker, a curve. There it is. Paints a zone. And that one count. Rafters down 2-1. They need some life. And Walker throws a breaking ball up and outside on a ball. 1-1. So changes in between his fastballs, breaking balls. And likes to go to the curve. At times, Walker, the 1-1 inside as Gallison claims he got hit, and it looks like he did on the right knee, and he'll take first, tying run now at first. So Gallison hit by a pitch. That's the first time we've seen a Rafter get hit by a pitch today. So Ty Johnson, Mr. Reliable, when you need him most, he always steps up, so he's going to need to do that right here. Grounded out to second, grounded out to first, and he's also walked. Leading the team in hits and at-bats for a reason, given he's been here the longest, but he's been consistent about almost every game. It seems like at least once a game he's getting a hit. But we'll need that to be the case this time. The center fielder and the Northwoods League All-Star will see a curveball that peppers the zone in for a strike, 0-1. So two down here. Gallison at first was hit by a pitch on the right thigh. As the 0-1 from Walker, a fastball to check swing. Outside for a 1-1 count. The count runs at ones. Two down here, bottom of the eighth. Leading run at the plate, tying at first. Walker sets high, the Cuesta College product, and the 1-1 backed away and fouled. 1-2. So two down, a 1-2 count. Cade Walker nearing his 14th pitch, and he's already struck out Sailors. So two gone for the Doxbinders here, bottom eighth. Checking in and firing the 1-2 at a curveball, sweeps the right side, but just comes out of the zone. And looking to paint that corner, but unable to do so. So twos across the board. Ty Johnson wearing number two. Two balls, two strikes, and two outs. The 2-2. And Johnson fouls this off his right ankle. Gallison was on his way to second, was looking to steal the base. Rafters need some life. They need a couple hits. They need guys to get on. Brendan Bobo is on deck. But Ty Johnson, 2-2 count. Walker will come and fire, and a swing and a weak ground ball over to second in Serain. He throws it across to first, and that does it. So heads us to the top of the ninth inning. Rafters down 2-1. We'll step away on WFHR.
You have been listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR. Brought to you by Wisconsin River Orthopedics, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Aspirus Health, Solaris, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Delta Dental of Wisconsin, SNS Distributing, El Cafe, Edward Jones Sky Manning, Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, Crescenda Next Home Partners, and Dixon Gun Shop. Stream every game all season long at WFHR.com or through the Civic Media app.
They spend their work life helping others. Police officers, firefighters, active and retired military service members, first responders, healthcare workers, and teachers. Chris Inda, realtor with Next Home Partners, helps finding their home life a little easier.
Hi, I'm Chris Inda. As a veteran myself, I know how important it is to have a place you can rest, recuperate, and call home.
Ask about the Homes for Heroes program today at 715-741-1851 or search for Chris Inda Realty on Facebook. Air conditioner not running? Make a call to the Bullpen for the experts at Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Fireplaces. A proud partner of your Wisconsin Rapids Raptors. We'll work quickly and efficiently to get your AC back up and running. As a Bryant Factory authorized dealer, our team will do whatever it takes to repair the problem quickly and efficiently. We'll get your system out of its slump and back in the game.
Need a repair? Schedule it now at comfortair.biz. That's comfortaire.biz.
Let's get back to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Top of the ninth inning and a pitching change for the Rafters. A guy that comes in at these moments, Julian Tristan. 13 games appeared in, the Irvine, California native from Westcliff University. 2-1 record, 7 saves. He leads the team. He's got 15 innings of work, 13 hits and 9 runs allowed, but he's got 14 strikeouts. So another Northwood League All-Star in the bullpen staff. So the right-hander serves up high. He's got a fastball that goes above the zone on Seth Sweetchick here in the bottom of the order. Sweetchick 0 for 3 and a strikeout. The 1-0 and a swing and a ground ball over to Hansen at second. The turnaround, the throw across his body. What a play. Luke Hansen, that was unbelievable. Turns around, the throw across his body, and boy, he gets him there. So that's the skill of Hansen. So Connor Cooney here on top of the order, 0 for 4. Julian Tristan on his third pitch and fastball low. So Tristan appeared against the Doxbinders twice back on June the 3rd, where he picked up the save. Only had one strikeout but a walk. And the 1-0 this time low. He also played against them back on June the 23rd. While the Rafters won 3-1, he went an inning, picked up the save and a strikeout. So 7 saves, and the 2-0 up high. Haligzo threw the glove and 3-0. So 3-0 count here with one down. It's a fastball at 91. Julian Tristan, the right-hander. He'll look high, serve, and finds the right side of the zone, peppers it in, and a fastball at 91, 3-1. So 3 balls a strike, Connor Cooney 0 for 4, and he swings and hits a sharply hit ground ball over to Bobo at first, catches it in the glove and the tag at first, right on the money, 2 down. So Rafters doing their job on the defensive side. Jack Gorman, the second baseman, who's 0 for 2, but he's drawn 2 walks. So a strikeout. So looking in and firing is Tristan. And then there it is. Paints the zone. So 2 walks. Gorman struck out. And then he flew out to right his last time up. He's 0 for 1. 0-1. He's down in the count. 0-1, excuse me. Julian Tristan will look. And there it is. And a swing and a ground ball that stays fair on the third baseline. Broussard able to field it. The throw across the diamond is on time. So that it is. The 3 straight outs for the Rafters. Do they have a chance to come back here in the bottom of the ninth? Down 2-1. We'll step away on WFHR.
You're constantly rubbing your hands and wrists. The aches and pains just won't go away. But they can with help from Wisconsin River Orthopedics. Call in their experts, one of the certified specialists on their hand team. From surgery to therapy, Wisconsin River Orthopedics has it all. If you've been injured or suffer from pain in your hands, back, knees, ankles, or more, go to WROInstitute.com to learn about all they can do for you. From surgery to therapy, they have it all under one roof. At Wisconsin River Orthopedics in Wisconsin Rapids.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My Grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my Grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough. But if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Let's get back to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Bottom of the ninth inning and a new pitcher in store, Tanner Smith for the Dock Spiders. They lead 2-1 as the Rafters have one more opportunity to tie or perhaps win this game. So they have their grunt of the batting order, say their best guys, Bobo, Broussard, and Kana, 4, 5, and 6 in the order. And Brendan Bobo will lead off. So Bobo, 0-for-3. He flew out to right, flew out to left, and grounded out to first. So Tanner Smith is the guy to make the save for the Dock Spiders. 13 games, a 1-2 record with a save. He's at 16 and a 2/3 innings of work. So the Presbyterian College senior from Lawrence, South Carolina, 16 hits allowed, 24 strikeouts with 15 runs, a 7.02 ERA. So the Rafters can capitalize on a pitching change as Brendan Bobo will see the first offering from Smith. And it goes outside for about 1-0. So 1-0 count. Brendan Bobo, 0-for-3, but perhaps his time is now. And Smith, the right-hander, serves in. Bobo flies this away. Left side, 1-1. 1-1. Raptors lead the season series 4-2. Last time these two teams played, the Dock Spiders took the game off the Rafters 6-2, but a close outing here, 2-1. And the 1-1, a swing and a miss this time on a fastball down the plate. And it comes in at 90, 1-2. So 1-2. Tanner Smith with the ball behind his back. He stands on the first base side of the rubber. They kick high, wind, and serve. The 1-2 and a swing and a ground ball over to Gorman at second. Scoops it up and tosses it on to first for what's once again another ground out. So Gorman doing his job, two away, and Garrett Broussard, who's 1-for-3 with a strikeout. So Broussard, last time up, grounded out. He struck out looking his first time at the plate and then got a base hit his second time up. One down. Tanner Smith puts the ball in his glove. He longs there at home. He'll look down, he'll kick. And the first offering right down the plate this time on a strike. 0-1, that was a fastball that painted the left side of the zone. That time at 92. So two away for Fond du Lac here in the bottom of the ninth. Raptors have been out, hit 6-4. And a fastball, a wild one, way outside of the zone. 1-1. So Tanner Smith looking to be the guy to grab the save for the Dock Spiders. He's already gotten one this season, where he picked up the save against Madison back on June the 13th. A 1-2 record, the right-hander from Presbyterian College. He'll look down, kick in the 1-1, and a swing, and a sharply hit ground ball over to Serene at second, and has trouble fielding it, commits an error, and Broussard at first. So Garrett Broussard will take there now. So Chris Conniff now in what seemingly seemed like a routine ground ball, the first one of the game, an error this time. So Chris Conniff, he'll step in, tying run at first, leading run at the plate. One down, and Chris Conniff will step in. Conniff 0-for-3 with a strikeout. He's grounded out to second, grounded out to short. One down, and Smith will fire. And peppers the side on the left edge. It comes on the up above corner. 0-1 count. That was a fastball at 91. Fans are getting into it here at Witterfield. And what's a game? Been a low-scoring affair. And it looks like to be. Did he tag him out? And he did. The pickoff attempt was right on the money. Broussard can't believe it. First base coach Josh Nikoloff having a word with an umpire. So Broussard goes down, and now it's two outs. So a pickoff attempt for Tanner Smith, and he gets him. Sweet Chick with a tag. And now, just like that, Conniff down on the count, 0-1. Two down. Smith will come set. The wide stance, the stare at home, takes a deep breath, fires the 0-1, and outside, just above the left side of the strike zone, 1-1. There's a fastball at 92, and the count runs at 1-1. The Knox Spiders one out away from taking this game off the rafters. The 1-1 down in the dirt. Five straight wins, Wisconsin Rapids on the verge of dropping that sixth game, but nonetheless, five straight wins gets them right back in the Great Lakes West Division standings in the second half. They started 1-4, five straight wins makes it 6-4, but now Fond du Lac lost last night, and the 2-1, there's a curve outside. 3-1, so Chris Conniff, discipline at the plate right now. Three balls a strike, two away. And looking down is Smith. He'll kick high. The 3-1 and a swing and a miss low, 3-2. So the count runs full, two down. And Tanner Smith perhaps getting his first strikeout and what would be the final out of the night. Raptors on the verge of dropping this game. The fans are getting into it. Bottom of the ninth, two down. Three balls, two strikes. Smith comes set now. Stands on the first base side of the rubber. He'll look, and the payoff, and a swing and a bouncer that stays fair on the first baseline, coming out and tagging Sweet Chick, and he tags Conniff. That's the third out, and the Knox Spiders take a game off the Raptors, and they take the first game of this series. Raptors fall to 2-1. And Fond du Lac, a big win. A run for the Raptors in the bottom of the fifth. They took an early lead, and then a quick response from Fond du Lac. Two runs in the top of the sixth, and that basically did it. A game where they were out hit 6-4, committed two errors in the field, but just a game where they slowed down. They were red hot, five straight wins, but on the sixth win, which would have tied their longest season win streak, comes down here and it ends. Good for Fond du Lac. You know, they played well, and they did exactly what they needed to do. Their pitching was on point, but the Raptors just, it was hitting for them. Only four hits. They've never really won any games this season, only having four hits. And the Knox Spiders out hit him 6-4. Tanner Smith commits the save. Benetti gets the loss, and Mason Weckler gets the win. So we look at this game, and I'll tell you one thing, that the Raptors, they didn't play their best ball. And it was a game for them that they just struggled at times, you know, committing two errors in the field. Chris Conniff, both by him, but nonetheless, he's a great ball player. He's going to respond nicely. Got no doubt about that. But just a game that they couldn't find ways to get over the hump. Fond du Lac had a great response at the top of the sixth, and that carried throughout the game. Had excellent pitching throughout the game. Bryson Parrish, he had three strikeouts. Anthony Benetti had six strikeouts. But you look at the Knox Spiders, they're pitching four strikeouts for Weckler, a strikeout for Walker, and they just got it done. They had a 1.0 ERA today. So Raptors will be back in business tomorrow. They take on Fond du Lac once again, a 6:05 first pitch at Witter Field. So for everybody at Wisconsin Rapids Raptors, for the players, coaches, and staff, for everybody at the studio at WFHR, my name is Joey Fier saying so long from Witter Field. We'll see you right back here tomorrow night. Have a good night, everybody.
Make it a lot easier for that volunteer to be directed, to stay focused, and to not get overwhelmed, which, as anyone who's volunteered before knows, all of a sudden your phone is beeping. There's Slack notifications. I think we're all a little tired of Slack after several years of remote work. I know I am. I want to log out of Slack at the end of my eight-hour day, and like, we are done here. And maybe your phone is beeping at you while you're at work. We can't have that. So you get the information you need, and then from the campaign or organization side, it also makes it easier to give that information, because we're not going to have to be worried that we're overwhelming people, that they're getting lost somewhere in a channel.
No, it sounds great. You're listening to the Rick Smith Show with Erica Chomsky. She's the Chief Strategy and Partnership Officer at Shire website, getshire.com. RickSmithShow.com. We'll get links out on social media how you can take a look at this. Now, it sounds great from the volunteer standpoint. What about if you're a candidate? And you know, as you're as a candidate, look, one of the hardest things is getting that team of volunteers who are going to go out there and charge into the abyss for you. This is a way of helping almost build that out of a nationwide pool of folks who may want to see you do well, right?
You're doing my lines here, Rick.
Okay, sorry.
No, I love this. I think my favorite thing is that you and I met about a minute ago and already you get it, and that's how easy it is, particularly from a campaign side.
No, the reason I get it is because I've often asked, why doesn't this exist? I've asked people, why hasn't this happened? Yeah. You know, it's like a lot of this. I've been doing this 18 years now. So people come to me, I got this great idea. And you go, oh, yeah, that thing I thought of 18 years ago? Yeah, you got around to that. God bless you. So happy. So this is one of those things that I've, you know, over the years have asked, how come we haven't done this? And I guess you guys have been doing this for a while, right?
So our founder and CEO was a federal campaign manager in Iowa when COVID hit. So obviously COVID pretty much killed in-person volunteering. And what she realized was that, you know, we were, as a movement, cobbling together all these different solutions, trying to find something that worked. And she also has a tech background. So she was uniquely positioned to come up with a solution to this, you know, very common problem. And she was able to conceptualize, here is what people want. Here's what they want to do. Here's how they want to go about it. And here's what we as candidates and campaigns need. And really, kind of remarkably quickly, put those pieces together and assemble a team to build it.
No, that's great. And look, you said your founder has a tech background. What about those of us who don't? I mean, you know, again, a lot of people, that's a barrier. You know, what about people who aren't as tech savvy as your founder?
Yeah, absolutely. So this thing is bonkers easy to use. It's very intuitive. It's very simple. And in addition to that, it is designed with accessibility baked in. So, you know, we spoke just now a little bit about a more rural voter, you know, possibly in a red community, possibly just outside a city. We spoke about people who work 8 hours a day and cannot make it to an office. But we also need to center people with disabilities. You know, there's a lot of barriers built into participating in democracy, whether it's showing up in person or navigating, you know, any kind of system. We're leaving people out who really, really, really need to be at that table.
Yeah, and in this moment, we need everybody, all hands on deck, yeah, if we're going to save democracy, let alone talking about building a prosperous future for working people, just saving democracy in this moment. You know, which is why, you know, Joe Walsh was a congressman from this area for a while. We're buddies now because we both believe we should save democracy. And we both joke that I can't wait till we can go back to hating each other over policy issues, because I want to fight over things. But when you're talking about, hey, we got to save the country first.
Yeah.
That seems to be kind of an important thing.
I miss those fights over policy. I cut my teeth on the Al Gore campaign. I was very young. We're going to forgive me for that. But I got to tell you, I'm still mad about it. So it's interesting.
I'm still mad Al Gore was the candidate.
Well, yes. We're going to move on from that one, though, because that's, you know, 23 years of trauma now. Yeah.
Absolutely,
those were the days, right, when there was a policy to fight about.
Yep.
And instead, we're sitting here and you use the phrase save democracy, and you are right. It is literally just those two words, save democracy, save the democratic process, save a world in which everyone does have a voice and we're not. I'm looking for the right word, Rick, and I can't find it because I don't want to be too depressing on your show right now. I know people are going to and from work, and I don't want to bum them out, but where people aren't crushed.
Put a frog in a pot of boiling water, and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in a pot of cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As a metaphor for us and all that we go through as veterans, it's a story that rings true. We learn to endure the heat in silence. We apply what we learn to life, the bills, the job, the family, things we're expected to handle with ease. When life heats up around us, we just try to stay afloat. We let the water boil. Reaching out isn't easy, but you've never been interested in easy. You join because you are not afraid of hard work. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait until the water boils. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
I'm John O'Hurley, and I support Paralyzed Veterans of America because our heroes have sacrificed so much for our independence.
I had just come home. I had noticed my legs were swelling. Next thing I know, it was 3 weeks later. I was paralyzed. PVA has brought me back to life.
While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. It left me paralyzed. I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
For more than 75 years, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to never leave a fallen hero behind. That's why Paralyzed Veterans of America is providing specialized medical care, life-changing treatments, benefits our heroes earned, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need. Our paralyzed veterans have helped us live the lives we enjoy today. It's our turn to give them the best lives possible. To learn more, go to pva.org today.
What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director James and head of production Seth will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's artists supporting artists, in their own words.
When times get dark, we can't see the help that's all around us. Let 211 be your guiding light for help with food, healthcare, and other resources.
211, how can I help you?
Call 211 or visit 211.org. 211, get connected, get help.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tonight, otherwise mainly cloudy skies. Lows level off around 61, southwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow, daytime high is approaching 87, a mix of clouds and sun. Lows dip down to about 62. Tomorrow night, chance for scattered storms. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 75.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Riots. To this day, class continues to be a major factor in who fights and dies on the battlefield.
Labor History in 2, brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show.
About 150 years ago, General Philip Sheridan was sweltering in the relentless heat of a Texas summer. He was not happy. "If I owned Texas and all hell," he groused, "I would rent out Texas and live in hell." Summer has always been hot here, but 2023 has been something else, thanks to a hellish heat dome that has been baking us since late spring, sending daily temps up to 116 degrees. But worse, a more punishing heat has hit us from an even stranger unnatural dome, the Texas State Capitol. That's where our malicious governor, Greg Abbott, and his GOP majority of extremist right-wing lawmakers rigged the rules to make life easier and richer for corporate elites and much harder for working people. In this year's legislative session, they rammed a nasty piece of plutocratic meanness into law that critics dubbed Death Star. It annihilates the basic right of local officials and voters to govern their own cities and counties. In particular, it empowers autocratic state officials and even corporate executives to nullify decisions by localities to protect workers and others from corporate abuse. In a cruel case of bad timing, the first local law targeted for nullification by the Texas GOP is a humane requirement in Dallas and other cities that developers provide 10-minute water breaks for construction workers. This in a state with America's highest rate of heat-related deaths and presently suffering biblical-level heat. triple-digit temperatures kill. Yet Abbott, his air-conditioned legislative cronies, and his corporate campaign donors whined that a required water break was, quote, an oppressive burden on the extraordinarily rich construction industry. This is Jim Hightower saying, here's a new rule I'd like to see. No lawmaker or lobbyist is allowed to oppose heat protections for workers unless they spend July and August with no air conditioning for themselves.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
So welcome back to Netroots Nation here in Chicago as we continue our coverage of the big powwow. About 3,000-4,000 progressives coming together here in the city of Chicago to talk about how they can change the world, you know, make things better for working people. And that's why I've asked Cheyenne Schoen to come talk with us. She's a communication specialist with the United Steelworkers. And look, I love seeing my union brothers and sisters at events like this. Helps bring the tent a little bit closer together and bring people together and help us move in a better direction. Cheyenne, thanks for taking time for us.
Yeah, thanks, Rick.
So let's start. Your first time here? This first time comer?
Yes, first time at Netroots. First day of the conference, having a good time so far. A lot of people, a lot of progressives in one area.
Thoughts of what you're seeing? I mean, it can be overwhelming if it's the first time to something. There's a lot here.
Sure, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's fun to have everyone under one roof, everyone that we're used to seeing, some familiar faces and some new ones as well, making connections across the labor movement. We just had our labor caucus that we got out of, so it was fun to hear about the organizing victories that are going on.
Let's talk about that for a bit, because, you know when this first started, you know, I'm looking around, labor had a much bigger presence. There were a lot more panels on labor issues. This one doesn't seem to have as much as even last year or the year before. So I've had a lot of people go, well, you know, is labor not participating? What's going on? Mm. I'm curious, any thoughts on, is the movement just growing? Is any thoughts on what we're seeing?
Sure, yeah. This is my first Netroots here, so I'm not sure what they did in years past, but I've met Starbucks workers who are organizing. I've met folks from BC, Vancouver, BC, who are working on organizing students who are at university there, and people who work at the universities there. We're doing the same thing at the United Steelworkers right now. We're working on organizing the staff of the University of Pittsburgh. That would be the largest labor unit, bargaining unit in Pennsylvania in decades, about 8,000 folks there. So they're working on a huge campaign right now for that. So, if labor has a smaller footprint here, it certainly doesn't in the larger...
That's because you're busy out in the rest of the world.
Yeah.
I got it now. I think I figured it out.
Yeah, there's a lot going on right now.
Because there is a resurgence. I mean, when I was your age, labor was, 20-25% of the labor market. Mm-hmm. When I was in Cleveland, you couldn't trip over somebody who wasn't in a union or there had a family member in a union.
Yeah.
Now you're talking down 6.7% of the mm-hmm. private sector, 10% overall. Mm-hmm. It's getting a little harder. So seeing a younger generation enthused mm-hmm. about going, hey, this is how we make lives better, to me is encouraging.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that the pandemic certainly had an effect on people taking a step back and saying, we need protections that go beyond wage increases. I mean, wage increases are certainly important, and that's something concrete that we can point to. But it's a spectrum of health care. It's pregnancy protections for people who are pregnant. It's across gender and race. We're building up a movement here that isn't just focused on class, but around the spectrum.
And look, I just had this conversation a little bit ago, because in this arena, there are people who have all of their issues. A lot of climate change, a lot of LGBT, a lot of transgender stuff, a lot of individual stuff that they've siloed almost themselves off. Mm-hmm. And I've often said that the one area that can bring all that together is labor.
Mm-hmm.
The one place you want to reunite this country, you organize the workplaces.
Mm-hmm.
You bring democracy to work, and all of that other stuff works itself out. Do you agree with that?
I do. I think a class-based movement is one that lifts everyone up from you know, from the ground up. It's not particular to race, gender, class, but certainly it's it encompasses those things, right? I mean, we're, for example, working on at the University of Pittsburgh, we're focused on making it so that there's more equity in the workplace. There's more inclusive policies.
Explain that.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, we're working on one of the points there is making sure that accessibility issues for people who have learning disabilities or people who have staff members who have disability issues with parking. I mean, things that are come down to a basic level of parking, pronoun usage in the workplace, you know, that sort of thing is what we're looking at.
Those things that you know, in a democracy setting, is something that you can work on if that's important to that bargaining unit.
Yes.
Because I look at my contract. My contract doesn't have pronouns.
Yep.
My contract doesn't care, white male, black female, white, black, male, female, doesn't care.
Yeah.
Gay, straight, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. The person who comes to work, does a job, gets paid this.
Right.
These are the conditions. This is all this. To me, that's the way we move forward, where mm-hmm. all the stuff that we divide ourselves on doesn't matter in this environment, mm-hmm. that we're all working for a common central goal.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that's where we're kind of heading, no?
Yeah. I mean, I think the economic issues are certainly like the base of this. Yeah.
No, here's my example. Mm-hmm. You know, 30 years ago, we dealt with the transgender issue in my workplace.
Mm-hmm.
We'll call him Ross. Ross went away. It wasn't his name, but Ross went away. Came back about 6 months later. Ross was Rosie.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who cared?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody cared. Because Rosie did her job.
Mm-hmm.
Rosie got the same pay, got the same benefits,
right.
Got the same working conditions. Didn't matter.
Yeah.
Rosie went and led her life. Everybody else went and led their lives.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where a lot of people, or at least I hope everybody wants to get to,
mm-hmm.
where you're going to lead your best life. You're going to be who you're going to be, do love who you want, do what you want.
Right.
And it's not going to be tearing us apart.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that this is how we get to that place, because I want to get to a place where no matter what your issue is, mm-hmm. in the workplace, you're just like anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You're not special. You're just like anybody else. You came, you do a job, you go home, you live your life. You don't get discriminated at work, in housing, in any of that. And I think we're a better society if we get to that point.
Right, yeah. Yeah, certainly. But I think it's also important to note that until we get there are steps that we have to take to get rid of that discrimination in the workplace, right?
No, and this is how we use...
Right. We use a class-based movement to do that.
Certainly.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
And that's why I think the labor movement is so important, and why I've been saying for so long, we do need to organize the workplaces. I don't think this is something public policy can do. I think we have to get down to the grassroots.
Yeah. People-centered, people-focused movement. I mean, that's democracy.
So what do you guys, you know, obviously you're doing a bunch of networking and a bunch of organizing here. What are you hoping to take home out of this?
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping to meet other folks in the labor movement who are willing and ready and motivated to work together on bringing up worker power. I mean, that's what this is.
Absolutely.
This whole thing is about. I think it's nice to be with people who are on the same page, and who can, you know, connect and bring people together to bring people up.
No, this idea, and I talk about this on the show all the time. This idea of having an empowered worker gets you an empowered citizen.
Yeah.
You know, when you feel that you have the ability to make change in your workplace.
Yeah.
You're going to take that into the public square, and you're going to fight for things that are not only going to make your life better, but your community's life better.
Yeah, I mean, if you have ownership of your work and you have you take more pride in what you're doing, if you have a say in your workplace, your working conditions.
So last question I've got for you. Again, you know, I look at what you see here and how we can bring this together. Any thoughts?
Yeah, yeah, I mean, we're working on it. I think that every day...
That's the answer.
Every day there are changes that are being made. We're getting steps forward. We may get set back, but at the end of the day, I think that what we're doing here is working so that we can get this movement moving forward. And I think that we're seeing that across the labor movement every day. We're gaining power. Other unions are gaining power. SEIU, you know, we are working with across the labor movement to bring people up here.
And that's an important part there. You know, the fact that you said, I want to meet other unions and I want us all to come together. Because one of the things that labor gets knocked on is, you know, we're siloed off, much like, you know, yeah. people in this room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got ours and you've got yours and we shall not talk.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of building that idea of, you know, the old IWW, the old one big union idea.
Yeah.
There's a way forward.
Yeah, there is cross solidarity.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
Outstanding. But Cheyenne, I appreciate you sitting down with us.
All right. Thanks, Rick. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks so much, Cheyenne Schoen. She's a communications specialist over at the United Steelworkers. You can check out their website, steelworkers.org. Quick break right back after this here from Netroots Nation in Chicago. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1905. That was the day that revolutionary black scholar W.E.B. Du Bois helped found the Niagara Movement. It was named for the mighty current of change the group hoped to bring about. The initial organizing meeting was held near Niagara Falls, New York. During the Reconstruction period after the Civil War, African Americans had an unprecedented level of freedom. They were also involved in politics, winning elections for local and state political offices. However, when Reconstruction ended, those gains were quickly rolled back. W.E.B. Du Bois was one of the more prominent African Americans who opposed Jim Crow laws, which strictly enforced racial segregation in the South. At the organizing conference of the Niagara Movement, the group drafted a Declaration of Principles. Foremost among these was a demand for voting rights for black Americans. Another principle concerned labor rights. The declaration read, "We hold up for public execration the conduct of two opposite classes of men. The practice among employers of importing ignorant Negro American laborers in emergencies and then affording them neither protection nor permanent employment, and the practice of labor unions in prescribing and boycotting and oppressing thousands of their fellow toilers simply because they are black." This point recognized that the refusal of many unions to include black workers limited black economic opportunities. Managers pitted workers against one another along the lines of race to undercut worker solidarity and power. The Niagara Movement continued until 1908. That year, a race riot by white residents of Springfield, Illinois, the hometown of Abraham Lincoln, left 8 black residents dead. In response, Du Bois founded an interracial organization, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, which still exists today.
Labor History in Two, brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and the Rick Smith Show.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
Welcome back to Netroots Nation here in Chicago. Hope you're enjoying the program. And look, again, you know, check out our website to make sure you get the latest on where we've been, who we've talked to, and, you know, some of the other stuff that we're doing here. But while we're here, I'm talking with Rebecca Ratcliffe. She's a statewide organizer for Fair Vote Illinois. The folks, one of the exhibitors, I believe. Rebecca, thanks for taking some time for us.
Happy to be here.
So what brings you here to this event? What is it that's got you here?
Yeah, so Fair Vote Illinois is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization, and our sole mission right now is getting ranked choice voting across the state of Illinois. So we are here to spread the word about that. We're also here with Rank the Vote, which is a national grassroots organization working on getting ranked choice voting everywhere. So, you know, no matter where people are, we're happy to have them sign up with us.
Good. So ranked choice voting, tell me what this is. Pretend I know nothing. Walk me through what you're talking about.
Yeah, ranked choice voting is a simple upgrade to the way we vote that gives voters more voice and more choice. And it does that by allowing us to rank multiple candidates. So first, second, third, if we so choose. Now, the reason for this is because with ranked choice voting, you need to have a candidate needs to have a majority support. So that 50% plus one to win. That's not always the case with our current system, With ranked choice voting, you get that. And because you get to rank multiple candidates, it makes it so voters really feel like they have a lot more voice in the election process. They never have to worry about something like splitting the vote between multiple similar candidates. They also get rid of the worry of wasting the vote, maybe if they want to vote for a lesser known candidate or a third party. So it's really...
So an example, if you know, there's someone, you know, on the ballot, there are three choices. You know, like say the Green Party, the Democrats and the Republicans, if you wanted to vote for the Green Party person, knowing that they're never going to win, you could do that. And then your second choice, you could rank, you could vote that way as well. And your vote would eventually count.
Exactly. Provided no one got to that 50% number in the first round, which a lot of times doesn't happen when you have more, when you have three or four, then it makes it so you don't have to worry about inadvertently helping someone else win who you don't want to win.
No, look, and then what's the difference between what you're talking about, ranked choice voting, and instant runoff voting?
So those are actually the same thing. There are two different terms that are used. Instant runoff voting is often, that's the term we use in places that have runoffs. So we are doing we're starting to do a big push in Chicago, and we'll probably often refer to that as instant runoff voting here, because in Chicago, we do have runoffs. In our last two municipal elections, the mayoral races have gone to runoffs. Tons of aldermanic races have gone there. So with instant runoff voting, ranked choice voting, it gets rid of that hassle for the voters, saves taxpayer money.
No, the reason I was going to bring it up is because of Chicago and Georgia. You know, I spent a lot of time in Georgia. They seem to be doing a lot of these runoffs. So having this ranked choice of being able to say, hey, you know, I want to vote my conscience, but I also don't want to throw my vote away. I think that's important. And then saying, look, you know, we should be going to the polls once. This all should be part of it. It seems logical, seems rational. How come we haven't done it?
You know, the main thing is just not enough people know about ranked choice voting. So that's what groups like Fair Vote Illinois are doing on, you know, for our state. And then there are groups on almost every other statewide level, because you do have to get this state by state, that are working on it. In Georgia, there's a group called Better Ballot Georgia that it's definitely, you know, trying there so they can get rid of those runoffs that seem to happen every 2 years.
Yeah, because look, as working people, we ain't got time to go take a day and go vote and stuff.
Exactly.
It's hard enough getting people to get out on that Tuesday once every couple of years.
Yeah.
Or once a year, everyone should vote every year, every cycle. The most important elections are those ones that don't get any attention or any money. Those are the ones that, well, affect your life the most. And
definitely,
I think we need to keep talking about that. Everyone goes, oh, we're going to vote in the presidential. No, you need to vote in the off years and the off years as well, don't you?
Yes. But when we're asking people to come out multiple times for a municipal election, that's a really heavy ask. That's a ton of work we're putting on the organizers and everything that we just don't need to be doing anymore if we put ranked choice voting in place.
So what's the argument against this? And you're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're here with Rebecca Ratcliffe. She's a statewide organizer here for Fair Vote Illinois. Their website, fairvoteillinois.org. We'll get links out on social media. You can take a look at that. So what's the argument? To me, sounds like a great idea. Should have been done all along. I can't believe we haven't done it since. What's the argument against it?
Yeah, there aren't really any solid arguments against it.
Come on. There's got to be a conservative argument to go, no, this is how they're going to rig the vote.
There are some people who are concerned that might be the case, but that's not reality. The one thing we will say that could be seen as a con is to fully utilize the ranked choice voting system. That does require a little more of the voter. You can still just vote for one person if you like, but if you've got several candidates on a ballot and you want to actually vote for several, that means that you're going to have to do a little more research.
Is that what we want? Active, engaged?
I think that is what we want, yeah. But, I mean, you will have some people who say, well, not everyone's going to do that. And it's true that not everyone's going to do that, but I think we should be putting systems in place that incentivize that good behavior.
But if everyone isn't doing that, you know, shouldn't it matter for the people who are? Look, you can still pull the lever for the red hat or the blue hat.
Absolutely.
You know, you can look, if you're not happy with either red hat or blue hat, You can put Mickey Mouse in as your first choice and then vote for who you think is the better of the evil, no? I mean, because that's how I see this. There are times where I have voted for people for in elections where I don't like either candidate.
Yes.
But I'm voting for who's going to be the less evil. Who's less bad.
And that's not a great position that voters are often put in.
Right.
And,
so this gives me an idea. Yeah. Hey, I can go, I know Mickey Mouse isn't going to win, but you know what? I'm going to go write Mickey Mouse's name in. Because enough of us go and write Mickey Mouse in, maybe both bads get better.
Exactly. And we're able to start seeing with, you know, third parties or even not necessarily third parties, but maybe newcomers in an area. If they have really good ideas, we're able to start seeing the true support that exists for those ideas, since people are able to vote their conscience and everything. And maybe that starts to shift politics for our two parties, which we don't expect are going anywhere anytime soon. But right now, there's a real lock on those. It's a very binary system.
So let me ask you, now obviously this isn't just made up out of whole cloth. There are places that do this, right?
Oh, yes. So there are several countries that have used them for that have used ranked choice voting for centuries: Australia, Ireland, and then in the United States, Maine and Alaska. They're using it for all their federal, statewide, many of their municipal elections, and there are also over 50 municipalities throughout the states right now that are that have been using it.
I think somewhere in Louisiana, they've got. I think maybe New Orleans, maybe.
I'm not sure if there's somewhere in Louisiana.
Off the top of my head that there was something like that, because you know it is working in certain places.
Absolutely, we have and we always do a lot of voter polling and everything in places where this is instituted. And what we're always seeing is that voters say they like it. It was simple to use, and they want to keep using it.
All right, so for us to get more information, obviously fairvoteillinois.org is a place to go. Other resources that folks can find?
They could go to rankthevote.org if they are, if they don't live in Illinois, and then they can get hooked up with another state.
Good things. Good stuff, Rebecca. Lastly, thoughts of the big event here, the big shindig?
It's really great so far. Yeah, this is the first day we're here, but just excited to meet more groups. And we've got a panel tomorrow from 2:45 to 3:45 where we'll be talking about ranked choice voting, too.
Looking forward to it. Sounds very exciting. Rebecca, I appreciate the time.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Rebecca Ratcliffe. Check out her website and her group's website, fairvoteillinois.org. We'll get links out on social media. Gonna take a quick break. Right back here from Netroots Nation. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Thanks for tuning in to The Rick Smith Show. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Rick Smith Show, like us on Facebook, Instagram, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can find all that and much more at TheRickSmithShow.com.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
So spending a little time here at Netroots Nation, we look around this facility and the number of groups that come together to really push out the idea that we can have a better tomorrow. Everyone we've talked to, and I've spent some time talking to all the vendors, we've invited them to come over and talk with us. And again, if you miss any of the program, make sure you grab the podcast. Also on the podcast section of the show, there are going to be a bunch of interviews that aren't going to make it into the radio show. And I don't want those to get lost. There are going to be a bunch of people that we sit down with over our time here that I think need to be heard, should be heard. And I hope you'll take a look at that as well. But, you know, you go through it. Every person that we come across, without exception, you know, how do we do what we do better and how do we make people?
Smiles are powerful. They spread joy, laughter, and hope. But not everyone gets a fair chance at a smile. Every 3 minutes, a baby is born with a cleft, making it difficult to talk, hear, eat, and even breathe. In America, most children with clefts receive immediate care, but others around the world may never have access to the surgery they need to thrive. Smile Train is changing that. As the world's largest cleft charity, our sustainable model has sponsored more than 1.5 million smiles. We offer training and financial support to local medical professionals so they can provide life-changing surgery and other essential services at no cost to families.
It's more than to see these children, to hear the difference that we make. And for me, being born with a cleft lip and palate, knowing what they went through is so life-changing for me.
Help us change the world one smile at a time. To learn more, visit smiletrain.org/learn.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.3